Hi, I'm Lois.
And I'm Stacy.
And this is Whose Girl Are You? So, what are we talking about today?
The only good news I have to share is I have officially finished my 35-day cleanse.
Oh, good for you. So what kind of cleanse were you doing?
It was from my natural doctor. It was a 30 days of these pills every morning and every night that were liver detox, kidney detox, gut or colon detox, building up the microbiome. Then it was like 5 days of this sludgy powder drink thing that I had to do that like cleaned you out. It was gentle. It wasn't like brutal or anything, but it was like. Yeah.
But it did the job.
It was like, wow. Yeah. Like, I think I lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. So did it work? Do you feel better? I mean, was it so you would feel better?
Yeah. Like my liver felt swollen almost. Like I could almost feel it like under my rib.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. And then I have other symptoms of like sluggish liver.
Mm-hmm.
My heels will hurt and different things like that. And so it's not like night and day. I felt horrible and now I feel great or anything, but it was good to do a reset and start eating a little healthier because you have to stay away from certain stuff for that 30 days.
Yeah.
And when I have a goal,
mm-hmm.
it's so weird how I can focus on this 30-day block and say, oh, I can eat like this for 30 days and I feel good eating that way. Like I don't feel overfull or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like my stomach shrunk over that 30 days. We went out for lunch with some friends today and I found myself stopping way earlier than I typically would.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, since the beginning of December, I'm down 15 pounds.
Wow. That's great. That's awesome. So
the funniest thing was I was telling Ed this morning, I said, remember when I was telling you, I just need to lose 15 pounds and then I'd like be great. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I've lost 15 pounds. I was like, I really ought to lose 15 pounds.
Yeah. I know. Right.
He's like, even someone, but his response was like, yeah, I bet even someone who's like 300 pounds loses 50 pounds and they are like, wow, I'm just thin.
Yeah.
Like just because you're thinner than what you were, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Thinner.
So, yeah. And I do. Yeah. I feel good as far as like my clothes are fitting me better. I feel more comfortable in my skin. It's more comfortable like going to sleep and laying down and I'm more comfortable. So I feel better in that respect.
Right.
But yeah.
That's good.
But I was reading about it and they recommend you do it once a season, like four times a year. So whoa.
That's like you get 80 days off 30 or 90 days off 30. No.
Yeah. It's
no.
Like a month 60. On, 2 months off. It's like a month
days
on
30 yeah, days. Like, yeah.
Yeah. A month on, 2 months off, a month on, 2 months off, that kind of thing. And I was just like, man, if I did that, like me and I told Ed, I said, maybe I do that for 1 year.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's the way to help myself stay on track because then I'll continue to eat healthy for a while. And then I'll start going, oh, well, a little this or that. And then before you know it, I'm completely just
out of control
eating McDonald's and having ice cream sundaes like on the regular. You know, yeah. And it's just like, how did I get here? You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe if you did it if it was only, you know, 1 month and then 2 months off, how far could you slide in 2 months before you're like, oh, back on at 100%? I don't know. Just a thought. You know, let's see if I'll actually do it or not. I put the stuff in my cart and then I didn't hit purchase. So I'm going to talk to my doctor about it when I go in and ask her if she thinks that would be beneficial for me to do for a year and what her thoughts are on it. And
right.
See what she says.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling like I'm leaning that way.
We could segue that right into part about like sticking with something and like.
Isn't it funny though? It is hard to stick with anything. Like you've quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Have you still stayed quit smoking?
Yes, I have.
Have not one drag,
nothing.
Any caffeine substitute, I mean, nicotine substitutes
or
nothing. You just went cold turkey and
I haven't given up caffeine. Make this very clear.
Yeah. No, nicotine, not caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No substitutes, no, nothing. I just quit. And I was ready for it. You know, mm-hmm. it was time. And it was something I considered for a while before I did it. I didn't jump into it like spontaneously. It wasn't just a spur of the moment decision. I had planned it for several months. And I gave myself a deadline. And then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I hit that deadline, it was like, okay, now it's time.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it easier to plan for it rather than just wake up Monday morning and say, oh, it's Monday. I'm going to, you know, change my entire eating style, or I'm going to give up coffee forever, or, you know, you make it till noon and then you're
you want to know what's interesting about
jonesing
that,
for coffee.
Yeah. That when my husband quit smoking, and he had been smoking pretty heavy for quite a long time. I'm talking like 2 packs a day mm-hmm. type of thing. And when he decided to quit, it wasn't like your story at all, but every Monday he'd quit every Monday.
Mm.
And sometimes he made it till noon on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he made it a little bit longer. But he made it up in his mind that he was going to quit every Monday. And one of these Mondays, it was going to stick. And one Monday, it did. And wow. He quit every Monday for probably, I don't know, I'd have to ask him, but I want to say it was somewhere around a year, year and a half.
Wow.
Of like not giving up on it, just saying yeah. like, no, I'm quitting on Monday. And I think he just got sick and tired of so many Mondays, right? Yeah. That he just yeah. finally said, that's it.
Yeah. Persistence pays off in that regard.
Yeah.
Continually. But I feel like our whole lives are like that, where we continually have to like turn our focus back, our Christian life, we turn our focus back to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our exercise life, we're like, back to, oh, I should be doing something, whether it's walking or running or,
yeah,
you know, lifting or whatever you do for your exercise. It's like, back to, I should do be. Our food life, it's like, really should be eating healthier.
The thing about it, though, is you know, if you're doing it, something gets you off track. You get sick, the mm-hmm. weather's foul, you go on vacation, something.
Yeah.
But usually,
yeah.
like, you're like that for me anyway. I'll be doing good on mm-hmm. whatever it is. Going to sleep at the same time, waking up at the same time. I've actually gotten really good at that. That's been my biggest accomplishment this past year.
Nice.
Is going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time. My mm-hmm. friends, I think, feel like it's a little bit ridiculous because I talk about my bedtime. And I was like, no, my bedtime's between 9:15 and 10:20. And they're like, that's so specific. But yeah, starting back up again, I think, is the hard part. And I think for me, I set myself up for failure because I want to all or nothing.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes me just do nothing a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And funny enough, though, as I was coming to jump on with you, I got in my podcasting room a little bit early and I was doing my Bible study. As I like got in, I put my books down and I went to shut the door and I saw my little hand weights were there. And I was like, you know, I've been thinking that I should be doing this. And so I picked them up and did, you know, 2 reps of 15. And the fact of the matter is, if I did that every day, just 2 reps of 15, you would see a difference yes. over time.
Yes.
My arms wouldn't be quite so pathetic looking.
Little changes consistently over a long period of time produce results.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
You know, do the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's a good mindset for our whole lives.
Do the next thing.
Yeah.
Or like yeah. small, you know, and that's what's hard, I think. People want these grandiose things. They want to, oh, I trained and ran a marathon. Oh, I hiked a mountain. Oh, I did such and such, whatever, right? The pictures are great. Like, it's not so great to write a Instagram story or something about like, hey, I did 2 reps of 15 for the first time in 6 months.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It, exactly. Or like, hey, guess what? I've gotten to sleep at the same time.
Yeah.
90% of the time for almost a year.
Yeah.
You know, but it is those things. It's the eating healthy. It's the getting enough rest. It's
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
challenging your body in some regard, but it's not the big thing and then stop for a long time.
Right.
What did someone say that, oh, I wish I could think of what she said. I have a friend that always says this, and you'd think if they always say it, I would remember, but I want to get it like how she says it. It's, she says, people don't like to do hard work in the same direction for a long period of time.
Right.
And she was talking about church work, about ministry work. They want to sometimes have the big convention or the big, you know, whatever. And sometimes it's a lot of that behind the scenes work that you don't see people doing.
Every week it needs to be done. Somebody needs to set up the chairs every week or whatever, like whatever you're.
Yeah. Or, you know, updating bulletins or.
Yep.
Yeah. Just unlocking the church and making coffee, whatever. Yeah. Like these things don't get done on their own.
Yep. Yep. Putting the song slideshow thing together, whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, what keeps you doing it? What keeps you doing the small mundane things over and over and over and doing the right thing and doing the good thing for a long period of time in that same direction? What keeps you there? You know, that's the question.
I think it matters if we know that there is a gain to be had for it, like we know that it will improve our health.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you've had a health scare, it might be a little more, that might be a little more incentive to like, oh, I should really take this seriously. I had a heart attack. Maybe they, you know, maybe donuts every day for 35 years hasn't been a good idea.
You know, even my mom getting early onset dementia, it didn't happen to me, but I watched it happen and it scared the tar out of me. I did some research and it was one of those, we don't know if that type, she had primary progressive aphasia. They don't know if that type is hereditary or not. And as you read about it and they're like, there may be a hereditary link, there may not be. I had flashbacks of remembering reading about type 1 diabetes when my daughter got diagnosed. And it said, some studies show that they think that there's a genetic link, but it's not proven type of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, in the last 10 years or more since she's had it, they have now determined it, in fact, does have a genetic component to it. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we don't know this about PPA because it doesn't have very much research money because it's not, I don't know, it's just not one of those diseases that gets a lot of attention. So not a lot of money gets thrown at it. I mean, Bruce Willis does have it now. So I don't know, maybe a little bit more attention will be on it. But anyway, all that to say, I did consider after all the reading of all the stuff of things I could do to help my brain. Is there anything I can do, in anything in my power? I know God is in control and all that, but I think we are responsible. We are responsible for what we know and for what we're able and capable of doing. So I need to cut down on sugar. I need to cut down on carbohydrates. I'm not saying get rid of them, but I'm saying minimize them in my diet. And I need to do other things like, I've said it before, that's why I'm doing dancing. That's why I'm doing, you know, learning a second language. That's why I'm even doing this podcast with you. All the things that make my brain actually really do hard work. Not that my job, it doesn't always either. Like my job does as well, like trying to remember people's names at church and there's 500 people there. You know, all of these things, I feel like, well, they can't hurt. So it doesn't always have to even be your own scare.
Yeah, exactly.
You can watch someone else and think, yeah, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm also not saying my mom did something to get it or something. You know what I mean?
No, no.
It's not what I'm saying. I don't, you know, that goes without saying, I think. But
yeah, exactly.
I don't want someone to interpret it that way.
Right, right.
You know, I know someone that their mom got breast cancer too, and she doesn't eat meat because of it.
Yeah.
Because of all the paperwork she's read.
Yeah, I know. And it, so that's so funny because the next person will eat only meat because there's information on that side as well that says only meat's a good thing, you know?
Well, I think we have to look at our genetic makeup.
Yeah. Individually.
Individually, yeah, because like even in the Finnish population, there's a higher rate of type 1 diabetes, thyroid issues, celiac disease, you know, all this. And then there's all this intermarrying. Well, okay, if this is stuff that you know, like your certain population is prone to, Well, then you might want to watch out for some stuff. Just like the Latino population has higher rates of type 2 diabetes. Well, if that's the case, well, then be smart about that, right? So,
So is that a genetic thing or is there a part of it that is just environmental?
Because I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think
they have, you know, you learn your eating habits from your parents or your community and.
It's both, though. Think about it. You know, we all know these people who smoked a pack a day until they were 90 years old, never had any complications to it for some weird reason. That doesn't say that, oh, well, you know, Joe Blow smoked two packs a day for his whole life. He was fine. So therefore I can, you know, that's just ridiculous if you think about it.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, somebody else, you know, like on the other side.
My great grandmother died from emphysema.
Yeah.
Well, then there might be a predisposition. There's just some stuff that's just like, come on, it's obvious. It's just not good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But you, I don't know. So part of it's learned behavior for dieting and whatever behaviors that people do, whether it's drinking or smoking or whatever is socially acceptable in your culture or whatever. But I do think there's a predisposition in people's genetic makeup.
Yeah, totally.
Because especially people that marry within their same culture. Like, really, it'd be like, we'd probably be way healthier if we started marrying outside of our cultures.
Blend some, inject some new DNA and
that's it. Genetics. I'm sending my boys internationally somewhere before they meet anybody. You guys got to just move out of the country. Then they probably like go to, you know, Germany and find a Finnish girl or something.
There you go. Send them somewhere very different than your, what you already have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. There's not much you can do, but there's some stuff you can do.
Yeah.
You know, the argument is quality of life or quantity of life.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And I don't want one without the other.
No, I know. Exactly. I think it's interesting, though, that some things are so much easier to stick to than others. Like you were talking about. You were talking about a lot of times it's an event or like you go on vacation and then, oops, you never pick up your exercise routine when you get back from vacation. Like something interrupts it. But I think there's something about being able to focus on it as a, like to somehow, and I don't know how, I haven't figured out how to do this yet, but I would welcome input. How do you turn something like exercise in your brain to a positive thing rather than a negative thing? Like, I have to exercise. Wow.
That's really interesting because I have been thinking about this for quite some, not that specifically, but how perspective is everything.
Yes.
If you can shift someone's perspective, you can change their entire life.
Yes.
Right. And that's, I think
it.
Yeah. So that's really the question. And I think, unfortunately, there's not a blanket statement or I'd be a millionaire because I'd write a book about it and everyone would like want me to come talk at their things, right? Because I would be like,
you can trick yourself into doing all the right things.
Yeah, we all want that, right? We all want, you know, the pill. I mean, the Ozempic thing that's going on right now, right? Have you heard about this?
No, I don't even know what
Ozempic
that is.
And all its counterparts. There's like other.
No. What is it?
What are the other names for it? I don't know, but it's the shot that they're giving to people. They take it themselves. So they, I don't know exactly how it works, but to lose weight.
No, I've never heard of it. What is it?
Yeah. Like I know somebody that's really struggled with their weight for a long time. And this is the target demographic is, you know, she's struggled with her weight since she was a teenager. She's in her 50s. She's a type 2 diabetic. She has a lot of other health complications due to her obesity. And this is the person that probably should be on it, right? So they put her on Ozempic. She starts taking it and she lost 80 pounds in 2 months or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's a lot of people finding out about it and now wanting to take it. They have to lose 30 or 40 pounds that they just, you know, like you said, who wants to just like exercise all the time or this or that?
And stay away from the extra calories and the extra junk food and the whatever.
Yeah, the sugar and all that gives you the good dopamine hit. Yeah. So there's people taking it that are just losing like some weight. But there's so many things out there that you read that it makes me really nervous, because it's kind of becoming really popular right now, and we won't see the fallout of it for a little bit of time, like right. we typically do. That what other kind of health complications is it going to cause?
Yeah.
And already they're saying like the minute you stop taking it, you're going to gain all that weight back and sometimes more.
Oof.
So is it really worth it? Because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Like insurance is covering it, but even with insurance, it's not cheap.
Is insurance covering it for everybody or just like for somebody that needs it for like
For everybody.
That's what I was going to say. There's no way they're covering it for everybody.
No, some people are paying big money. Like some people are saying, yeah, I'll throw down, you know, $1,500 for 3 months supply of it or whatever to take Ooh. To lose 40 pounds. That's how desperate people are to wow. lose the weight.
Yeah.
And be skinny. Our culture has just pushed it so hardcore.
Yeah.
I love when people post those pictures of the statues of the ladies in Rome from back in the day, and they have all their roles and stuff. Yeah,
your roles were evidence of your husband's success in life because you weren't starving to death.
Yeah. And I mean, they did statues of the most beautiful women, and they all have.
I know.
Some meat on them.
Yeah. And that's proof. That's why. That's proof that you were successful. You could afford to eat more than enough that's to what's stay funny. Alive.
In today's culture now, skinniness, like being yes. ultra thin, is success. Because in a culture where there's too much.
Abundance.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, who can, you know, get the right who trainer or be on the yep. right drug or do yep. the hard work of it or, you know, just because mm-hmm. you have to say no a lot. And yeah. it's proven that sugar is a drug just like any other. And, you know, this is one thing that I did, like when I quit smoking, going full circle back to that, is I told myself, you're a drug addict. I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, you're a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who wants to be a drug addict? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we look at smoking like, and I'm not trying to judge anyone out there, but this is the mental games I had to play to change my perspective for my mm-hmm. own self, because it mm-hmm. was something I wanted to quit, but couldn't seem to do. Right.
Right.
And it kind of shifted something for me. You know, I don't want to mm-hmm. be a drug addict. I don't want my kids to have a drug addict mother, you know, right. and I started like talking to myself like that. Some might say that's negative, but for me, I was minimizing what I was doing, and I had to maximize what I was doing to repulse myself.
Yeah, exactly. And so you changed your perspective.
Mm-hmm. And with the whole weight loss thing, because, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm on that journey too, right? Trying to lose a little bit of weight. We talked about it right at the beginning. But I had told one of my friends, I don't want it to be the goal of I need to lose weight. I want the goal this year for me in 2024 to be put more healthy things in,
mm-hmm.
put less unhealthy things in,
mm-hmm.
move more mm-hmm. in a way that's fun, like find fun, active things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one little tip I'll give people that my aunt had told me. I was young and I was so thin. I don't know why she said it, but, you know, I remembered it. So maybe that's why, because she knew someday I'd probably struggle because everyone in my family has a little bit extra weight. I had went somewhere with her. I don't remember where. She parked way out in left field we were walking in. And of course, I was skipping alongside of her or whatever. And she said, anytime that you have time in life, park as far away as possible because it will allow you to squeeze in some time for an extra little walk or take the stairs. Don't take the elevators, you know, all of those things. Like if you have the time, you know, if you're in a rush, of course, park closer, do what you need to do. But I've taken that to heart and I don't ever look for the closest parking spot.
Yeah. You have to be intentional about that though. You have to,
you know what I started calling it though?
What?
Weight Watchers parking.
There you go. Perfect.
As far away as you can park with staying in the same parking lot.
Yeah. But it's good for you because you do get a bunch of steps in.
Yeah. And you have to push that Costco cart that much farther. It's heavy. Mm-hmm. By the time I'm done with it.
You're sweating.
Yeah.
I had a workout.
But you do. You squeeze all the little bits out of it, right?
And
it's hard because it's cold where I live. That's one of the things that's gotten me. Ugh, I do not like to be in the cold.
I remember doing a trip once. Al and I went to Las Vegas with another couple. And I remember doing that. Like, they would be on the escalator. And I somehow I lost this because I had it back then 20 years ago. But they were on the escalator. And I was like, up the stairs. Because they always have escalators with the stairs right there.
Yeah, the stairs are always in the middle.
In the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like blasting up the stairs as they're going up the escalator or blasting down the stairs and then halfway back up the stairs and back down the stairs while I waited for them.
You know what I love doing? If there's not a bunch of people on it, I love running up the escalator. I feel super fast. Yeah. I love like walking fast on those moving walkways in the airports.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel so speedy.
Backwards. Go backwards and you'll get more of an exercise. No, if there's nobody on it.
I might look a little crazy. Usually, twice as many steps. Usually I'm rushing to my next gate because I don't. Yeah. I always take those flights that, you know, I like living on the edge where I have 45 minute
layover. Yeah. And you got.
And my plane's delayed.
Terminal change and.
Yeah. Well, I've run. Yeah.
I know.
I've made it by the skin of my teeth many times. I've never missed. No,
I have.
I did have a plane be held for me one time.
You're lucky. They didn't hold
mine. It was an international flight, though. I think that's why. And I was with a group of people. So they held the plane. Yeah. In Copenhagen, Denmark.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mine was due to me scheduling too short of a layover. But our flight left late. And I was like, there is no way I'm going to make, but we landed and we were still not rolled up to the gate yet when I was like, they're going to be closing the doors, the boarding doors in like 5 minutes or something. Like I have 5 minutes before the deadline of they won't let you on this plane anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, I ain't making that. I know I need to change terminals and. I ran just because I was like, maybe they'll hold it for me. I got there. Somebody else was on my same plane who was a lot younger than me and a different gender. And I got there about the same time they did. And I'm like, I didn't do so bad.
Yeah. But you both missed it.
But we both missed it.
Yeah. So what things would you want to change your perspective on?
Exercise is definitely the one. And like I said, I used to have it. I used to do that. Literally take the stairs instead of the escalator. Like,
maybe you just got out of it. Well, you might have gotten out of it when, you know, kids. I don't know.
No, it was, I had kids. I had probably.
Okay. I mean, did you have like any knee problems? But
you know what it was at that time? I was working out very regularly. I was actually working for a fitness place teaching. So I had to. I taught step aerobics back in the day. Did you know that?
I had no idea. No, yes. I did not know that about you.
Step aerobics instructor.
Do you still have your step?
I do, actually.
Maybe you should pull it out.
I know. I should pull it out and use it, right?
Maybe you should start teaching a step aerobics with your daughter-in-laws something.
Yeah, your kids, there you go.
Just at your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that too. Before.
I think I vaguely might have remembered hearing something about it once upon a time.
Yeah. No, I taught at a fitness place and then we actually did do it with a bunch of moms at our
house. Why'd you stop doing it?
Trying to remember if I did it right up until we moved or if I had given it up already. We sold that house and moved and lived in our shop for 5 years in our shop apartment. So we didn't really have that cool, really super cool workout room anymore.
Yeah, you had a nice workout room. So there you go,
circumstances change, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And you didn't replace it with anything else?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I need to go get my step from up at the shop.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about it. You know, we were talking about doing little things over a period of time, you know, stay mm-hmm. in the same direction. Mm-hmm. Our weight for most of us didn't come on like super quickly, unless all of a sudden your thyroid tanked out or something yes. yeah. happened to you medically or whatever. Like some, yeah. you know, usually it's, if you look back and track it, it's just a matter of, you know, however, a couple, 5 pounds a year or something. 5 pounds yeah. in a year doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but if you do it for 10 years,
5 years, yeah.
you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
It's a lot of weight. And so it's not that much a year. So, right. you know, this is what I think. What if the goal, if we find ourselves, and I'm not talking about someone that has a lot of weight to lose. I mean, you have to really buckle down and have some goals and have people on your team and all of that. I understand, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about the, oh, I have, you know, 30 pounds to lose
yeah.
tops.
Yeah.
Well, what if the goal was to lose 5 pounds this
right.
year?
Right.
And that was a success. And what yeah. if next year was to lose 5? What if you just move in the opposite direction?
Yeah. Yeah.
And not beat yourself up because you only lost 5 pounds in a year.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't gain 5 pounds in a year.
Yeah.
Like you had
which
been
means
doing.
Which means you're 10 pounds to the good right there. If you
right. Let's do some girl math on it, right?
yeah.
right. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good way to look at it, right? So I just think how about don't get discouraged and just move in a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that is just taking the stairs again. Maybe remind yourself of what you used to do mm-hmm. and park farther away and mm-hmm. take the stairs and maybe go up and down the stairs twice because instead of standing there because you're waiting for someone, maybe you do the stairs a few times because you're waiting for them.
Yeah.
Who cares if exactly. you get a little stinky?
Yeah. Yeah.
it's yep. fine.
Yep.
So I don't know. You know, maybe that's the perspective shift.
Yeah.
For that. Like it doesn't have to be a gym workout.
Or it doesn't have to be all or nothing.
No.
It can be small changes or small shifts. Like, and you think about that with like navigating a ship in the ocean. You know, you change your direction just the tiniest half a degree and you're going to end up in a whole different country.
Mm-hmm. Hey, continent. Really good example. Because like how in the book of James, it says your tongue.
Yes.
Is like a ship's rudder.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So although it's small, it can turn the entire ship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a key in that too, where you have to be careful about your internal dialogue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
And I think a lot of times it is that whole, you're your own worst enemy is said all the time because it's so true. And mm-hmm. a lot of times it's not anything you hear anyone say. It's all the stuff that's in their head.
Right. Exactly.
But a lot of times it is in what they say too. I hear people constantly putting themselves down in a variety of ways, and I'm guilty of it too. I'm not pointing fingers here. Like when people say, I don't know, can't think of an example right now. Like even if someone just says like, oh yeah, I'm just too loud. You know, people have told them yeah, they're too loud. Yeah, that's, yeah. I'm just using that because like it's something I've been told a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am loud. Mm-hmm. But like, why do I think that's a negative? Like quit being like, oh, I'm so loud. Be like, yeah, I'm loud. Yeah, yeah. There's a time and a place and I need to learn how to control it. Right.
Yeah. Just but, like everything else.
But guess what? I can use it when I need it as well. So yes. I'm always like, use your power for good, not yeah. for evil, you yeah. know, not to yell at someone and tear them down. But like one time when the speakers all went out in the church and I got yeah. up in front of a church of 500 and gave the announcements with my voice alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yep.
It was kind of hilarious.
Yep. Yep.
But just all the things you'll hear if you start listening to people talk about themselves, they're pretty negative.
Yeah.
Like we're pretty hard on ourselves. We would never talk to a friend that way. We would never be like, oh, I didn't work out at all this week. I'm so lazy. No, you're not lazy. Maybe you just had a bad week. Maybe you should cut yourself some slack and say, you want to know what? I had a week.
Mm-hmm.
And next week is going to be different. He says, my mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
You know, every morning you wake up is a new opportunity to do step aerobics
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. whatever. But you don't need to trash yourself about it either. Like sometimes he says, like, you need to rest.
Yeah.
So I think starting to be kind to yourself and realize being skinny shouldn't be the goal. Being healthy should be the goal.
Absolutely. I fully support that.
And maybe if you just take steps toward health, you can be kinder to yourself and mm-hmm. say, you know what? I'm doing the things. And other people don't have to see them and they don't have to acknowledge them.
Right.
That's one thing I'm working on is not like, can I keep doing the thing if no one notices?
Exactly.
Like my husband is so different. Like he purposely doesn't tell people. He tries to hide it from his own wife. Like if he's doing something and then I'm like, have you lost weight? It's like, oh yeah, I've been doing this thing for like 6 months. Why have you been hiding it?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I lose like 2 pounds and I'm like, guess what? I lost 2 pounds, you know, like I want you to tell me good job.
Yeah.
So it's the dumbest thing. And so I'm trying to work through that where, you know, why do I feel the need for someone else to tell me I'm doing a good job? Why can't I just tell myself I'm doing a good job?
Yeah. Why do you need outside affirmation kind of?
Yeah. I mean,
is that a personality thing?
I don't know.
Or is it a male female thing? Cause I could see that happening too.
No, I mean, I know guys that definitely want,
that's true. Yeah, that's want true.
You to tell them that they're doing good. Like it's, it probably is like a words of affirmation, love language thing. I never thought that that's what I have. Mm-hmm. I'm trying. I'm sorry. I'm like pausing all of a sudden because I'm like, what is my love language?
No, think about it.
I don't.
We got time.
I don't know if I remember.
We put in boring elevator music while we think.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a personality thing or if it's just a, I'm trying to figure out if it's like something God's calling me to stop doing or if it's just another thing I'm getting hard on myself about.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Like it's not like it's wrong to want people to tell you you're doing a good job and to get some encouragement. I don't think there's anything wrong in that.
Right.
But just, you know, what's my motivation, I guess.
Yep. Which pretty much comes back to everything. What's your heart? What's your motivation? Mm-hmm. Where's your heart? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm probably a little bit introspective right now because we've been studying Ecclesiastes for like a good month now.
And it gives you an eternal perspective, right?
Yeah. It really does. And it's just like, why are you, it makes you question, why are you doing the things that you're doing? Mm-hmm. Because here's the deal. Only the things that are eternal will last.
Yes. So whether you're skinny or not, doesn't matter. Whether you're rich or not, doesn't matter. Whether you're whatever.
But here, what do you think about this then? If you are treating your body that God gave you, as if it's a temple and trying to put healthy things into it. Mm-hmm. Is that eternal? Is that glorify God?
Yeah. That's a good question because how far do we take that?
It's a personal thing. It's like a personal conviction thing. You know, you and the Holy Spirit are working these things out. It's not, I'm not saying it to say it's a blanket statement.
Yeah. Because it's, everybody's so different. Like one person's going to be like, ooh, eggs are terrible. You can't eat eggs or meat or vegetables or whatever. I mean,
I think that's why he put that scripture in there with the vision with like the thing
unclean,
that, opened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like everything is fine. Everything is fine. It's just, you know, not if you're going to be a stumbling block unto your brother who isn't to that point where he can realize he has freedom in Christ as well.
Right.
Wicked paraphrase.
It works. I know.
You know the point, right?
Yep. Yep. We totally do.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not going to eat, even if I could eat, let's say, like bread or something that I don't think is a big deal. I'm not going to purposely serve bread to my friend that comes over with celiac. Like I'm going to make a meal that just doesn't have that because I don't want them to feel excluded in any manner. And I don't want to worry about cross contamination or whatever. So it's not good for them. And I know it isn't because they have a disease. So
Exactly.
I don't know if that's a good example or not, but I'm just saying like, these are all perspective things though. Mm-hmm. So you know, because one of the big perspective changes I had in my marriage, and this was quite a number of years ago, is when I read that Love and Respect book.
Yeah,
and it said, you don't respect your husband because he deserves it or he's earned it. Mm-hmm. You respect your husband because God called you to it.
Yep.
That was a huge shift for me.
Yeah.
Huge shift.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden, I didn't have to feel like I had to retaliate or defend all the time in the midst of arguments or something, I could just keep my mouth shut and show respect, like, and honor him in the ways that I could,
mm-hmm.
knowing that God was fighting my battles for me, knowing that God yeah. was, and I don't know why I always feel like I need to put in these caveats, but like, I'm not talking about abusive relationships. I'm not yep. talking about abuse. There was no abuse here. It's just typical
yeah.
relational things, right?
Yep. Yep.
So that's what I'm talking about. And so in those kind of situations, you can just, and if I knew I was doing it for God, I could do it for God, but I didn't yeah. want to do it for him. Not when he was irritating the crap out of me and I could, you know, yeah. like I didn't yeah. even like him at the moment. I wasn't going to,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'm not going out of my way for you, not no. even 1 second.
No.
Yeah.
But then that shift happened and God's yeah. like, well, will you respect him if that's what I want you
if
to do?
If I ask you to?
And then it's like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what? And you know what? I think that perspective continues to shift then, because then first you start doing it because God has called you to it. And then you actually are doing it for real.
Yeah. No, it's kind of that fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Like smile, even though you don't feel like smiling. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon your smile's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah. And thank God we fought through all of those years because,
yeah,
you know, we're going to be having 26 years like next month.
Yeah.
And things are good.
That's incredible. That's awesome.
Not bliss. Because it's not heaven yet.
Nope. Nope.
But because
you're both still sinners.
Yeah.
But it like you said, you're sanctified sinners. So you forgive each other and you
move on.
Keep on rolling and look for those perspective shifts when you need them, when you can find them.
Here's a perspective shift. I hear some people say, I haven't been able to change my language yet, but I'm trying and I've been self-correcting. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying things like, I have to go to work,
mm-hmm.
saying, I get to go to work.
Yeah.
Things, I have to make dinner. I get to make dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the reason I'm having a hard time with, I'm wanting to shift to that perspective, but I'm having a hard time with it because it makes it sound like I'm excited to do it. But is it one of those things that if I fake it,
yes,
will I start to like enjoy it more? If because it's more of like trying to practice thankfulness for my ability to do things.
Yes. Yes. Totally. I get that.
So, you know, am I lying? Am I being a little bit of a fake or a poser by saying I get to when I don't want to?
Don't feel like it. Yeah.
I mean, is that okay to sort of lie to yourself?
But if you actually sit down and think about it, first of all, you have a home to cook dinner in.
Well, I know.
With all of the abilities to do that, the utensils and the electricity and the stove and the whatever, all you need.
All the ingredients.
All the things. All the ingredients, the food itself,
mm-hmm.
the bodily health to be able to stand up there and chop your onion and cook your potato and your meat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of bring yourself immediately to a perspective of, oh, wow. Like there are people who first don't have the place to do it. Second, don't have the ingredients to do it. Third, don't have the health, the bodily health to do it.
Right.
I mean, it'll
so give I get you to, a perspective. I get to make dinner every night.
Yeah.
I get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my next shift I'm trying to make.
Yeah,
I'm struggling with it.
Your gears are grinding a little bit.
I'm struggling with it.
Yeah, but like, I know.
I want to have that attitude of I'm thankful that I get to go to work. And don't get me wrong, going to work for me most of the time doesn't feel like going to work. The only reason it feels like going to work is because there's other things I would also want to be doing.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy my job. So I that is a little bit easier to say, like, I get to do that. I think the trouble with I get to cook dinner every night is I wish someone else would get to cook dinner some nights.
Some nights. I know.
You know, I think that's my trouble. But but you know what? This isn't my reality and nothing is probably going to change. So the only thing I have control over is my attitude about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, check back in with me in like a month.
I'm going to give you another perspective shift. Okay.
Okay.
That goes right along with that.
Yeah. Give it to me.
Another thing you say is, thank you, God, that I have family to cook for. Because some people don't have that.
Mm.
I cooked for my husband for 40 years in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And now if I don't want to make dinner, I tell Cash, I ain't cooking tonight. And I've done that a lot in the last several months. A lot. Probably more than I should. I need a perspective shift too.
Whew. Give yourself grace as well, though.
I know I am trying. I am trying.
Yeah. I'm sure your kid has been able to make some things for himself.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm teaching my kids to cook too. I keep hoping that I'm going to teach them enough that I will work myself out of a job.
Yeah. There you go.
But I actually don't hate cooking. It's the getting to do it all the time. That's the getting to do it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, because the biggest thing I like about being on a vacation is not doing cooking all the time. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest thing. So when this whole Airbnb trend took off, I was like, no thanks. Yeah. I want to go to a hotel. Like, I don't want the ability to cook.
Yeah. Yeah. I want somebody to have to cook for me because I don't have a stove.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I get it.
So it kind of, I'm a little bit of a Scrooge when it comes to that. We did the Airbnb thing one time and I did decide it was fun and I enjoyed it but I put my foot down right away and said, I'm not cooking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we'll buy a few snacks and maybe a bowl, a thing of cereal and some milk or something, but I'm not doing any cooking. Yeah. So we ate out every meal and then ate leftovers from our takeout. Cause you get so much at all the restaurants you go to, you know?
Right. Exactly.
So, so then I decided, okay, it's okay. I just have to say no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want a full kitchen when I go on vacation.
Exactly.
I just want takeout.
So. That's your perspective and you're sticking to it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, in case anyone wanted to know, and I'm sure no one cares, but that's how I feel.
It's our podcast. We can talk about what we want to talk about.
They can just shut it off. Boring. Click.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, those are a few perspective changes. I don't know if there's anything else that you... Oh, here's another Ecclesiastes. So, I mean, if you haven't been in it in a while, the other thing is trying to live more in the present, not always looking for that, you know, building your bank account up to this or getting to the point of going on that vacation or, you know, we're living always working toward goals, which I think is good, but not, but you can work on a goal and try to live in the present, but it's really a tug of war.
Mm-hmm.
So also trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's a perspective shift on that necessarily, or if it's just a constant reminder of that.
A conscious awareness.
To be present with people.
Is that kind of the already not yet thing?
Yeah. That's why it feels like a little bit of a tug.
Yeah.
It's hard to live in the present.
Yeah. We're going to build a house or we're going to go on that dream vacation, but not yet.
But here's the opposite. You know, when people are old and they say, oh, back in the good old days and whatever. Did you know there's a part in Ecclesiastes that says, don't do that?
I know.
Don't say, remember back in the days when things were good.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like saying to God, today's not
good.
Yeah, not good. I'm not thankful for today. I'm only thankful for yesterday. I'm not thankful for today.
Yeah. And that's not good. We need a perspective shift in that for sure.
You can think back and have memories and talk and reminisce and whatever, sure. Or you can have hopes and dreams and look toward the future. But it's just a matter of visit those places, but camp out here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I feel grief is that same way too, where it's like you can visit that, but you can't just like build a house there. Like you can't just live there.
Right.
You know, you're going to visit. You're going to visit a lot at first.
Yeah.
But you're walking through the valley. You're not living there. Yeah. And you have to, at some point, begin to move beyond that initial phase of it, you know?
Yeah.
For the sake of yourself and the sake of others.
Right.
It's no good for anyone to just become your identity. And not you. I'm not talking directly to you.
No, I know.
I'm talking directly to you.
I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Like to wallow, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or I call it spiraling when people sometimes.
Yeah. Totally.
Like I say to people, like, it's okay to have a pity party, but it better be short and you better not invite too many people.
That's right. Right? Yep, I love it. I love it. That's great.
Ain't no one want to come to your pity party.
Nope. You're going to be an awfully lonely person if that's your constant state of existence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, 2024, I think, is going to be good.
Perspective shifts happening all over the place.
I think, you know, mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes has been really good. I've read it before. I've read it multiple times, but I've never sat down to study it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if anyone's looking for a good one, it's actually called Eternity in Our Hearts. It's on the Hosanna Revival website.
Okay. Cool.
And the girl that wrote it is awesome. We got to meet her and she's great.
Yeah.
She's young. She's only like 24 or something.
What's her name?
Alicia. Where's my glasses? I'm so blind.
Right.
Alicia Hamilton.
Okay.
It says Eternity in Our Hearts, How the Wisdom of Ecclesiastes Frees Us to a Richer Reality.
Awesome.
And it's really good. And you're starting a Bible study and I'm in the middle of a Bible study. And
yeah. Yeah. I can give a plug for the one I'm finishing up is called Leaning on Jesus by Deb Burma. And it's
been good.
Oh, so good. So good. And it's just that, leaning on Jesus in times of suffering, leaning on Jesus in times of joy, in times of everything. Like we lean, we are leaners.
I just saw something that said, when you go to Europe, people know that you're American because you lean on things, like you lean on the table on the wall. You lean on walls, and that like not every culture leans like that.
Well, we're true leaners.
Yeah. Let's shift to the end of this podcast. How about?
Yes. But we're going to put it right in park. Done. No more perspective shifts.
Period. End. Goodbye.
Bye.